Well, welcome everybody. This is Kinks and Drinks with Miss Krista. And tonight we're going to be talking about dollification and reverse Stepford Wife's fetish, also known as Stepford Sissies. And I see Miss Becky has joined me. Welcome.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can. Sounds great.
Excellent. And where is the chat? Remind me.
It is in the Discord general chat for the Entrancers Empire.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Hi, Tina. Yes, this episode is just for you. Well, it's for everybody, but she's the one that requested it, so I'm hoping to have a lot of fun with it. And just so everybody knows, this is Kings for Drinks, and you can find us here live every Saturday night at 9 p.m. right here on our podcast server. And you must be 21 to play here because we do discuss some fun drinks, and we love the libations. And you can also get a recap every Sunday on any of your podcast channels. So, with all that being said, Miss Becky, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Well, hello, everybody. So I am Miss Becky. You can find me at intelligentphonesexcalls.com. And you can find my podcast, Kinkology, The Psychology of Kink, over thereabouts on Cock Radio. And I'm a little bit sensual, a little bit strict, and very spicy.
Yes, very spicy. Mm. And she's going to be a fun addition for tonight. I can guarantee that, guys and girls. So, Miss Becky, do you know anything about dollification?
I do. I actually, you know, it's really funny. As soon as you said dollification, there is a Criminal Minds episode that deals with dollification and the unsub, which is the unknown subject for those of us who followed police procedurals, was a girl who was turning women into living dolls.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Very, very interesting.
She's turning women into living dolls.
Oh, yes, she was.
Very fun. Go ahead with your story.
Well, that basically was the end all be all of it, but I happened to think of it as I was looking at dollification for tonight, and then I got into doll makeup. And I spiraled.
Oh, I bet. That's a rabbit hole that's really hard to climb out of.
Gorgeous. Some of the styles are absolutely gorgeous. So hold on. Well, first
Tina
of all,
asking, I wonder if I had missed the program because I just changed time in my zone. No, you're here. You're right on time. Now, I have a fetish definition of dollification. And what it says is, in a nutshell, dollification is the process of evolving yourself both physically and mentally into a living doll. Exactly what you were talking about. People who like this do it, people who like this do this and maybe describe themselves as dolls, whether they are just beginning the process or have done it for a long time. Interestingly, these dolls desire to be owned by other people. It's a very submissive culture. Oh, very nice pictures.
Oh, I got more coming.
You do? Mm. Very, very pretty. Yeah, dolls just have the perfect makeup anyway, don't they?
They do. Look at that skin.
Oh, my.
I love that. That is actually...
Why, I could see why you'd wanna maybe become a doll. It is. They're very pretty.
Very pretty. Very pretty. And that's a makeup artist that I follow. Does that, Pat McGrath. Have you heard of her?
Uh-huh.
She does have really expensive eyeshadows.
Yes.
I love her so much.
And she does the girly girl stuff so well, and I am definitely all about that. Hi, Princess Andy. Hi. Thanks for coming.
Hello, Andy.
And in case you missed it, we're talking about dollification right now. And Miss Tina Aaron is the one that asked us to do this show tonight. Now, when I was doing my research, I don't know how much of this you know, Miss Becky, but there are a lot of fetishes that are like attached to dollification as well.
That would actually make sense. But tell me about that.
Well, the first one we've already kind of touched on, and that's the submissive behavior. Dollification, most people that are into that are very, very submissive. And they want to be owned. Kind of what we do. And a couple of the others, another one you touched upon, is the extreme makeup and the beautification process that goes along with becoming a doll.
Yeah, that's the one that grips me.
Yes.
That's the one that has me in its chokehold.
Yes, I love that one. And then there's also the clothes that go along with it. You know, the fashion that us girls learn from, from a very early age is basically because of the things that we do as we're growing up. Correct?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
And that's part of it. They love all the girly clothes. And most of the clothes that they really get into are the, almost like, well, here's the tie-in to the other portion, almost like the Stepford Wife type from the, back in the 50s and 60s women.
Oh, yeah.
The homemakers, and well, the other part of the dollification, they also enjoy the cupcake dresses and the little cutesy, frilly, lacy stuff.
Like the hyper-feminine stuff?
Hyper-feminine, yes. But it is basically their main go-to clothing is rubber vinyl plastic suits, dresses, skirts, thigh-high stockings, your makeup, of course, and also the beautification process of their hair.
I mean, that just sounds like my average Saturday night.
Yeah, me too.
Makeup,
maybe we're living dolls. Maybe that's what it is.
All women are living dolls.
Yes, we are. So, now, do you have any, experience with any of your subbies or anything like that with dollification?
Oh, I definitely with the hyper-feminine outfits. I work with several sissies that come out with some very... very adorable outfits that I would consider like dolly outfits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And makeup, not as much. I have to say, I would say that style of makeup is a very advanced form of makeup that you would kind of need to be pretty skilled in order to do it. Like I consider myself pretty expert with makeup, and I don't know if I would be able to do a dolly makeup.
I think it's just too, the perfection of it is just too much. And Andy put a very good point in the chat that, you know, nails, makeup, hair, and don't forget to accessorize.
Yep. And it's very exaggerated for some of the things that I'm seeing are very exaggerated features. Like, it almost mimics a little bit like a drag show.
Somewhat, but with a little bit more pretty makeup, doll makeup. There you go.
But just with exaggerated features, right? The big, huge eyes with the big fringe eyelashes and the rosy little cheeks and those perfect little puckered lips.
Hi, Miss Bianca. How are you tonight? Glad to see you. And if either one of you ladies want to join the show, you just let me know and I'll send you a link. So you just let me know. And now, I have noticed with the dollification, you know, in its more mild form, kind of our sissy pageant kind of went along with some of that.
Yes. Yeah, there were several of the people that I would say did dress in kind of like a dolly. Actually, yeah, that's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great observation.
And you know, it's really, oh, wow. Now, there you go. Now, that's some makeup tricks there. Although I do like the little pink bows. Aren't they adorable?
They really are. And do you see her eyes?
I do. I see where they made the eye bigger by using makeup and then put, you know, a little bit more of an eye down there.
Yeah.
Looks like she's got four eyes.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to open up some questions for the audience. Does anybody have any questions or comments about dollification? And Ms. Becky, with all these pictures and research you did today, I'm sure you're going to have to find a way to work that into some of your magic you do.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think that I'll be looking at dollification at some point as well, because it really is fun. It's very fun to play with. I think it's very, there's almost something nostalgic about it.
Yes. There is. I have to agree with that. You know, it's kind of funny, but, you know, in some of the extreme cases, I've got a couple of sissies that will only wear, like, the cupcake dresses with the frilly butts and all that. And really, that is another form of it.
It really can be. It really can be.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tina Aaron, do you have anything that you would like to add to this? And while we're waiting, I see her typing. While we're waiting, you know, this is actually one of the perfect topics for this time of year, because it's not, you know, it allows a lot of people to be able to come way out of their shell and dress in ways they normally wouldn't, and just call it a cover-up for Halloween.
Tell Tina Aaron I got her on her cupcake dress.
Oh, Becky's got you. She's going to get you a couple of pictures.
Look at that. Look at that cupcake dress. That is a cupcake dress.
Oh, my goodness. That is a real cupcake dress. But it's a style of cut. It's usually very short, and they're real poofy, and they usually have quite a bit of lace. Mott. Whoop. So, but anyway, I do feel that we have covered quite a bit on the topic of dolls. However, because Becky, there you go, that's a really good cupcake dress. That right there is the style. And that one's cute. I kind of like it. I wouldn't wear it, but I like it. It's really cute.
I'd wear my cute cupcake dress too, just so you know. Oh. I don't know where I'd wear it, but I'd wear it someplace.
Well, I do have some, but I don't wear them anymore. They're not really age appropriate. And I get reminded of that quite often with some of my wardrobe. Now, because Miss Becky is my co-host tonight, I am going to go a little bit deeper with the dolls, and I'm going to discuss a few of the mental traits that go along with being a doll. So, Miss Becky, what kind of person do you think wants to be a doll?
You know, as we were talking, I had a song going in my head, and it was Enigma, Return to Innocence. And so, like, great song, but like that notion of wanting to return to simpler times, of kind of embodied nostalgia, I would say. Maybe some escapism, some good old fashioned escapism.
Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of lists of things, and maybe you can touch on them for me. Most dolls like being objectified.
Oh, God, yeah.
They love being subservient. And they want to be completely and utterly owned by a certain person, usually.
Oh, that's interesting. So are you saying they fixate on a certain person?
Yes, that's kind of what they're telling me. Now, I don't know that to be true because I'm not a doll. Oh, I kind of am, but I'm on the other side.
You're a doll.
I'm more of the Chucky's bride type of doll. I'm going to control you and do bad things to you. Can you see that? The objectification, this subservient behavior and the ownership?
Yes, because it's not even like you're wanting to become another person. You're wanting to become another object, right?
Yes.
It really is almost a little bit touching on dehumanization.
A little bit. I think you could probably go that direction. I think they consider that more of a dronification, which we're not going to get into because that crosses a lot of lines that we really don't want to have to get into.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I did some looking into that too, and that is that's the extreme version. That's where you basically become a robot, I think. And now we're going to kind of segue from the dolls into. It started off, Christy on EE had mentioned that she had gone to a dom in Chicago and did a reverse Stepford Wife event. So I started looking. And they have another name for that. And that is called a Stepford Sissy.
A Stepford Sissy. I'm going to be featuring that at some point.
Oh, me too. Oh, yes. We might have to do a joint feature or something because that just sounds like fun. But anyway, so these guys that want to, you know, they kind of want to live more of a womanly life. I don't like using the word sissy a lot because it can be derogatory to some people. So we'll just call them special girls. So these special girls, they really connect with all of the all the domestic duties that the Stepford-type wives used to encounter. Bianca, oh, hell yeah, a stable of personal dolls.
Right? Send them to my house. I got some domestic chores for them.
Oh, yes. So, excuse me for just a second. So, the sissy Stepfords, basically what they are wanting is to be that 50s and 60s housewife and do all of those duties that the old housewives used to do.
That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That can kind of tie into the dollification as well.
Leaning right back into the nostalgia, the search for simpler times. And you know what? I think a big thing that is driving these people is just grating against the gender roles. Mm-hmm. Grating against that, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be, right? I was born a male, so I'm supposed to never cry. I'm supposed to always be strong. And I think that gender roles in any direction that are too rigid are great on people, right? And mm-hmm. so I feel like the reverse Stepford, you know, sounds really good to me because I grade against the gender roles of being a woman, right? And so okay. I want more of a masculine type of flavor to some of my play. And okay. then we've got the guys who want to lean into being a little bit more feminine. And it's just synergy. It works perfectly together. We really are very complementary. So shout out to all the submissives for meeting the needs of dominant women.
I know. So, and I'm going to add a little bit to the Stepford sissy genre appeal. The women back in the 50s and 60s were very, very feminine. Go into your gender roles. But, you know, you look at any of the older sitcoms and all that, and I talked to some of my older relatives. Women back then wore dresses every day. And that really plays into the sissy mindset. Women wore extremely sexy lingerie underneath those dresses. Again, really playing into that, I really want to enjoy that gender role. Women were at home, and that's where the Stepford wife thing comes in. Oh, wow. Now that is a cupcake dress and a bubblegum hairdo. Wow. Yes, the pinup aesthetics. That's right. That's kind of where I was heading, Tina, so thank you. But it's like me. I have a huge, huge thing for pinup lingerie, vintage lingerie. I am a woman that still loves slips. A lot of slips were, back in the day, were used because the garments needed them to flow correctly. Now the materials have become such that you really don't need them. Oh, wow. Now there is a Molly Homemaker cupcake dress. Gotta love that. Mm. But, you know, it's not because of functionality that I wear the slips. It's because the garment is just so pretty. They're very sexy. Mm-hmm. And there is a little something about when you're in a dress, you have a slip on, especially the slips that have that pretty lace around the bottom. You sit on a, you know, you sit on a stool, and you cross your legs, you let that shoe dangle from your toe, and that little bit of lace peeks out from underneath that skirt. And the reaction that you get from most of the men in the room is priceless. That right there in itself makes it where wearing a slip is well worth it.
I was just talking about slips.
Was you?
I was talking about in a session, actually. Vintage slips, very specifically, because we were... I think I actually was talking to somebody that had, even though we didn't quite name it that way, who had a little bit of a Stepford Sissy flavor to them.
Oh. Well, see, now next session you can kind of push it in a different direction.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Beyond retro, I might have to go look into that.
Right.
I have a couple too that I like. Where is it? Wholesale Vintage Slips. This place is in England, I believe, but they ship everywhere. And they don't just do slips.
Well, me and you both.
There you go.
That was the one I was originally looking for.
Oh, there we go. And I tell you another one. It's more modern, but God, I love their stuff. Is this one, Secrets in Lace? I buy stuff from them.
Yeah, Secrets in Lace is great, isn't it?
I love them. That's just the open bottom girdle page because, well, that was the last thing I was looking at. Another one of those 50s and 60s garments that is just amazing.
For sure. Look at the slips, too.
Oh, no, Tina. Slips are not a night clothing. Matter of fact, you don't wear slips to bed. That's just not what they're made for. They're made to go under dresses and skirts. They make half slips. And they make full slips. And night clothes are, you know, they make 150,000 different kinds of nighties. And that, they're both made of a lot of the same materials, but a slip and something that you wear for night clothing, there are some very distinct differences.
Yeah, originally, I think, weren't slips used so to make sure that you could never see through your clothing?
Yes.
So, like, you'd wear it on your skirt so that there would no light would shine through.
That, and the other thing that they did them for was so that the fabric didn't ever kind of bunch because that silky material would help the other fabric over it slide and kind of move in a flattering way. Hey, Luna. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We have been talking about dollifications, and now we're talking about Stepford Wives, or Stepford Sissies more than Stepford Wives. And we're also talking about, now we're talking about the vintage lingerie and the vintage clothing that the Stepfords wore back in the 50s and 60s. Hey, Felicia, how are you tonight? I like, Andy, I'm even a big fan of the nylon. They've made nylon to where it competes with satin and silk, especially the nylon tricot or tricot, however you say the word. Oh my God, it's buttery silky. Now, Tina, back to you. You asked a little bit about this. Is this a fetish or a lifestyle that you think that you would enjoy a lot? The Stepford, being a Stepford? We're not going to say Stepford Sissy or wife. You're just being a Stepford. I like that better. What's everybody's thoughts? Just call them Stepfords.
I dig it.
Then you don't have to, because see, then you're putting people in boxes. I don't want to, you know, have a box of sissies or a box of women. I just want Stepfords. I want the style.
Agree.
Oh, Andy
I'm still
says,
on the lingerie.
Oh, yeah. Well, lingerie is my, that's my jelly and jam, if you want to call it that. I love my lingerie. And anybody that knows me knows that I have more lingerie than any one woman should own. And, oh, I can't even begin to start talking about lingerie without talking about Becky's blog post for the blog train.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Miss Becky.
Yes.
We're going to talk all about that.
So, Becky's lingerie shop.
If you have not been on the blog train and read this, and you are a fan of lingerie, and you're a fan of being a Stepford, you have no debate about it, have to go read Miss Becky's blog. She, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, she has a blog that, well, I can't imagine anybody that would like to transform, be a sissy, change from being male to female, would not thoroughly enjoy reading. And if you haven't been on the blog train, you need to start with Kay Marie's at the beginning and start your way back.
You really do. I mean, because I've been reading every single one, and oh my God, we are outdoing it this year.
There are some very talented ladies writing blogs, and each one of them are a little bit different. You don't keep getting the same thing over and over regurgitated. Everybody's got a really good thought process, and they have something a little different to offer, so read them all. And look at Miss Becky in her lingerie in front of her shop. Look at that picture. Yes, I have Agent Provocateur.
I love that.
I haven't been there in a while. And Luna posted a link. Thank you, Luna. I might have to go check that out. I haven't been there in a while. My thing is, like I said, I am a vintage lingerie girl. Love it. So I buy a lot of stuff off of auction sites. And here's where it gets fun for all my special girls. You know, I buy lots of stuff in a lot. There may be 15, 20 garments in a lot. Well, there may only be 5 things that fit me. Guess what? I buy it and I keep everything. So I have not only a collection of lingerie for me, but I have a collection of lingerie that'll fit just about any size. From extra small all the way up to the 2s and 3Xs.
Very nice.
Now, the one thing that I don't have is a large quantity of different cup sizes in bras. So you're just going to have to deal with whatever cup size you get.
Do you have Mott size, Mott wants to know?
Do I have Mott size? Yes, I do. But Mott, as we talked before, unless you want to be a Heather Swanson, you're going to have to do something about that facial hair. And for those of you who do not know who Heather Swanson is, it's a South Park-ism. You have to watch South Park and just do a search for Heather Swanson and you'll get it. And you'll see what I'm talking about and it's funny. And yes, that's what I called him. Oh, and while we're talking about lingerie, And seeing it's my show, I can talk about whatever the hell I want. Has any of you girls ever had lingerie custom made for you?
I haven't.
When I was in the Air Force, I was in Paris for, I don't know, about 8 weeks. I went to this lingerie shop, and you couldn't buy anything. I went in there to buy, you know, all the stuff that's in this shop is floor models, basically, that you say, okay, I want that. They take you to the back room, they take your measurements, and they make it for you.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, you want to talk about quality, and there's just nothing like knowing that something was made exactly for you.
That is true.
And the other thing that was so fun about that is just because it was like, say it was blue with some white lace or whatever, when you go back there and they to get your measurements, they bring out this whole big swath of things that you can change in this lingerie, so you can personalize it to be your very own.
It's like build a bra.
Yeah, but even better.
Wow.
Metal lingerie. Mm. Now that sounds kind of militant. I've never heard of metal lingerie.
I'm Googling it right now.
Ooh. Yeah, let me see what you find.
I don't know if this is metal or if this is just metallic. Yeah, I think this is just metallic. I think this is, but it's so
mature
pretty.
Metal.
Look at it.
Oh, okay. Well, that kind of looks neat. Oh, kind of looks neat. Yeah. Now, something like that I could probably wear. I could probably get into something like that. But, you know, if you're talking about trying to make chainmail.
I don't know, man. Me
and Andy
were
thinking
this.
The same thing at the same time.
I could rock this bra.
Oh.
Look, it's got spikes on it. Yeah,
I could see you rocking that. I could see you with one of your little subbies and... you in that and a pair of matching panties and you with a big, one of those big log chains with a hook on the end of it that you're going to put on a choker collar for them. I could see you in that.
That's mighty specific, Miss Krista. Have
well,
you been
you know, picturing? I have one of those brains that take things to the next level sometimes.
Never, Ma. Never.
Yes, we're still in October, so yes. We can always move something like this. Let me see what you got there. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a chainmail bra and panty set. Hmm. I would think that would be really, really tough on sensitive nipples.
And...
go look at that
Lord
picture.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and you better be well and very closely shaved as well.
Yeah, can you imagine? Stray hairs being caught in that. You know, well, no need to wax this week. I'm going to wear my chainmail panties.
That's brilliant.
We're good. Same effect.
They are sexy, though. I do think chainmail is sexy.
Yeah, yeah. Not, I don't, like I said, I'm more of the girly girls, so not quite my style, but I think it is sexy. It looks good. But
I could probably rock some steampunk.
Oh, I love steampunk now. I do. Matter of fact, I have a thing for steampunk boots. The turn of the century, lace up, high heel boots. You know what I'm talking about? Like the women used to wear? I have several pairs of those, and I love them.
Yeah, I love steampunk.
Like I said, I pick and choose my steampunk apparel. Ooh, that's kind of hot. Look at you. There was a steampunk bar that I used to go to in Austin, Texas, that was awesome. It was a complete steampunk themed bar. And if you went in without having some kind of steampunk stuff on, you it was basically you walked into the wrong place, I guess.
They were like, bye. Bye, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, what's wrong with you? You're in the wrong place. But yeah, it was really neat. And all of the decorations in the place was really cool. And it had its own microbrewery in it. And they did the vats and everything in a kind of a steampunk vibe. It was neat.
Well, that is really cool.
Now, the one thing we haven't discussed tonight, one of my favorite things, is some libations. I know not everybody partakes, but for those of you that do, my drink this week, I think, was right on for this topic. It is called the Stepford Sissy. And I'm going to go ahead and post it in here again so everybody can see the recipe. I thought it was, like I said, I think this, oh, and it tastes great. I'm drinking one right now, by the way. When I say drinking one, that means that I'm having several, for those of you that don't know me. Yes, that's my way of saying that, yes, I'm partaking in a very fun drink. Now, this drink has two different kinds of Bacardis in it. It's got a Bacardi vanilla rum and a Bacardi coconut rum. Oh, there you go, Princess Andy. That's me and you need to hang out. If that's the way you drink wine, I'm all for it. And it's got 2 ounces of pineapple juice and 2 ounces of Sprite and 1/2 ounce of grenadine and just a splash of coconut milk. And this is a shake and drink, but you do not shake it with the Sprite in it. That's very important. You put everything but the Sprite, and you shake it, and then you top it off with the Sprite. And, oh, it is really, really good. And that is a really good picture of it on there, too. That's what it kind of comes out looking like, that pretty pink. And, oh, and you also, I love this. You rim the glass. It is, it's not overly sweet. It has a sweetness to it. It is a really good drink for, you know, people that don't like that heavy alcohol taste in their drink. So. It does have that nudge, nudge, wink, wink, rim shot. Oh, I love that, Andy. She says, I wonder how many got all squirmy hearing you say that. Oh, my, Becky. Our Stepford should be great at rimming. Of course they should. If that's right. Not a prerequisite for becoming a Stepford, I don't know what is.
That's delightful, just because, like, that makes me feel like even the original Stepfords must have done that.
Oh, I think so. Well, you know, that I believe this. I have an older relative that I have to attribute a lot of my sexual appetites because of the way that she was. She was a straight up slut back in the day. You know, she was one of those women that went way against the norms. However, she played the perfect Stepford wife while she was married. And I really believe that the term lady in the street, freak in the sheets, came from the Stepfords. I really do.
Honestly, probably. I mean, and nobody's and that respectable. You can't convince
And here's the thing. If you have ever watched the Stepford Wives movies, the guys wanted these women so bad. And it wasn't for their domestic duties. That was just a plus. Come on. Men are perfectly happy if the only thing on the wall is food.
That's so true.
So don't tell me that it was the domestic part of these women that they really enjoyed. So
agree.
I'm just throwing it out there. I really believe that these Steffords, what really made them a Stefford was their ability to be sexual dynamos.
Yes. Well, I mean, part of being a Stefford was the submission, right? And was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, submissives are great, Fox.
Oh, yeah. I can attest to that because all of my submissives seems to be really great, Fox. Yeah. Isn't that right, Mott? Oh, he's got something to say about that. Yes and yes. So, Miss Becky, Halloween's coming up. And you just had a wonderful episode yesterday on Femdom Fridays. Loved it, by the way. And anybody that missed that, Miss Becky talked about fear play last night, and we had a lot of fun. So if you missed that, you missed out. You need to start catching us on Fridays, too. We do Femdom Fridays on Fridays at 9 p.m., and it's got its own server right here on Discord. So all you have to do is just, you're already here, so come and see us. But she did an episode about fear play last night and all of the things to go along with that, all the things to go bump in the night. So yeah, we had Halloween coming up. Do you have any fun fear things coming up in your future?
Actually, I do. Funny that you say that. I'm actually doing a full expanded episode on Kinkology, the psychology of kink, that is centered on fear play. So it's going to be jumping into a little bit about what we talked about, but not like fully. Some interesting stuff coming up. That's going to be for my Halloween episode.
And that's next Friday. And just for all of you that don't know, Miss Becky's broadcast that she does, she puts that out at 6 p.m. on Friday evenings. Correct?
That's right. Correct. I actually just changed it to 6 p.m. because I cannot edit that fucking
It used to be at noon, but she pushed it 6 hours. So now it's at 6 p.m., which what it does, this is really awesome. At 6 p.m., you go listen to her podcast, and it gets you in the mood. It gets you in the mood for some more Becky. And then just a few hours after that, well, you can get her again for Femdom Fridays.
That's right. All the Becky you could ever want.
That's right. Two for Fridays. Did you leave out edible undies? No. You know what? I haven't played with edible undies in a while. Although I have had my undies eaten off of me. Does that count?
I mean, kind of, yes.
And I have actually watched guys and a few girls take my panties and put them straight in their mouth and act like they was going to eat them. So I think they're edible. They're at least lickable.
Well, exactly, lickable underwear. I think you're out of something.
And yes, I have that same panty fetish too, by the way. I absolutely love them. So I'm not ashamed to say it.
Have you ever eaten an edible panty just because you're hungry?
I have not.
Me neither. Me neither.
No, I have not. Matter of fact, I can't even say that I've ever completely eaten an edible panty. I have licked and tasted it, and, well, they don't have the greatest flavor. They're all right, but I've never really, to be honest, and this is the freak in me, I'd rather the girl be in a pair of regular panties and then let me just take them off and maybe taste them.
That is true. Like, honestly, the one I had was not that good, and pussy would have been better, quite frankly.
Pussy's always better. Come on. You know that.
Felicia French Fry says, I think they should put the word edible in quotes.
There you go. Yes. Yes, exactly. Pussy rules the world. Don't you forget it, Mott.
That's fucking right.
Don't you forget it. That's right. You tell him too, Andy. That's right. Oh, another little tidbit of information. Matter of fact, let me go grab something right quick because I'm going to make you people do something. Yep, you're going to have to do something. This is an assignment-based podcast as well, so there. Where is it? Oh, shit. Of course, I can't find it when I want to. Oh, there it is. Bam. Miss Andy is going to be in our Mistress Hot Seat on Femdom Friday.
Yes.
And this is your assignment, one and all, is to go to that link and ask her a question. Something that I want, probing questions. I want questions that are going to make her have to think to answer them. And matter of fact, if you can turn that sweet little innocent face red with one of your questions, all the better. So, do we have a Halloween trick or kink for you? The hot seat with Miss Andy. Princess Andy.
I'm so excited. I love the Mistress Hot Seats. I really do. They're fantastic. And the questions coming from you guys make all the difference. It's so good.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, I have a distinction on the Mistress Hot Seat. Did you know that?
I did.
I was the very first one.
I remember that.
I was. So, yeah. But, yeah. Oh, the questions are so important. And ask stuff that you want to know. No better way to get to know a mistress than to ask her probing questions that she has to answer in front of everybody.
And, like, how often do you get to ask professional femdoms these type of, like, personal questions?
Right? I know. You gotta love that. And, like I said, she's been on our show a couple of times, hasn't she? And
yeah.
She just don't like getting on there and speaking. Well, now we're going to make her.
Andy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good job, Tina. Oh, and then I've got one other thing, another little thing for you all. And that is, where is it? Here we go. Now, this link is my form for you all to submit things that you would like me to discuss here on Kinks and Drinks with Miss Krista. Use it. Click on it. Send your little fetishes, kinks. And it does not even have to be a kink or a fetish we discuss. It could be mixology. It could be a certain drink that you're interested in. Hell, it could be if it turns you on and that's what you want to talk about, we can talk about drag racing, college football. I don't care. We can even make brownies if that's what you want. But I like the kink, so send in some kink stuff too. But it really doesn't matter. This show is just for us to laugh and have fun. But your suggestions is what makes it fun. And thank you again, Miss Tina Aaron, because your question basically fueled tonight's talk. Oh, God, yes, I certainly can. I will start making that something that I put in with my post when I post for Kinks and Drinks. Thank you, Felicia. I most certainly will. That's a really good idea. Thank you. You can also find that link on my blog page. And for those of you that don't know, I am at phonesexfetishblog.com. And on that page, there is a tab for Kinks and Drinks. And it's still under construction. So I'm still getting things put together on it. But what it'll have that link, that form. And it will also have prior episodes. So if you want to just go there to find, you know, this week's episode to listen to it, that's where you can find it there too. And I do plan on writing little recap blogs, maybe that I'll link to it as well and put on there. And that'll also be one of the first places that I post new original art. Well, thank you, Miss Becky, and thank you for being here tonight. I really enjoyed having you.
Oh, I'm really, really glad I swung by. This was actually very, very, very fun.
Well, I'm glad. And now Tina says that she wants to see the episodes of Criminal Minds.
It was actually a really good one.
Was it?
Yeah.
I might have to go check that out too. Oh, and Felicia says she's glad you're back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I kind of did a little dig at Becky for taking a vacation and leaving us without our Becky time on my post for Femdom Fridays, if you noticed that. It said that she was going to grace us with her presence.
Oh, I love that. That's
yes. Well, I've really enjoyed having everybody. Again, this has been Kinks and Drinks with Miss Krista. We're going to be here live every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can catch us on your favorite podcast. I will post a link every week to get you to here. And you can listen to us the next day on Sunday on just about all your favorite podcast platforms. And the chat for now will continue to be in our general chat. And as things start to grow and start to become more readily available, I might end up with my own little chat room like the Femdom Fridays has. But we don't know yet. So anyway, until then, I do really appreciate each and every one of you. And anything that you all want to talk about, just click on that link and you send it to me and we will make that show happen. Again, thank you, Miss Becky. And everybody have a wonderful rest of your weekend. And I can't wait to see you next week.
Good night.
Night, night, everybody.